Okay, okay. My wife's usually my timepiece, and she regrets not being here. Says to say hello, but she usually tells me, you know. So if anyone wants to do that, be my timepiece, okay. That would be great. But a lot of times when we watch these presentations or talk about Jewish evangelism, it does a lot of thought because they're very intriguing people. They really are. And many people are just amazed that as much as they know in the scriptures, that they still don't see the Messiah and their need for salvation. And but there's a blindness there and a veil upon their eyes. And the thing is, a lot of people look at the Jews as maybe being too difficult to reach. But folks, God hasn't given up on Israel. God hasn't given up on the Jews. And they are a hard case. But there's a remnant in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, that there's a remnant according to the election of the grace of God. And you see, and I've seen, these Jews get saved. Now, Judith Carmi, I'm going to tell you, she's a Hungarian Jew, Holocaust survivor. She was my daughter's piano instructor, and we worked with her 4 years. My daughter was getting her piano lessons. I'd always go and leave her with, of course, the money for the lessons, and then I give a gospel tract, too, to her. And she's never refused anything. But she told me when she was in Hungary, her family was pulled out of her home, and the Russians had bombed the railroads so they couldn't get up to their camp by train. They were actually marched up there, and while they were marching, her father and brother actually got shot right in front of her mother and sister. And it wasn't until it was at that point her mother realized what the fate of that all those Jews were, and she decided to leave the march at the evening and go into the fields, into hiding, and back to Budapest there. And not like Anne Frank, where she stayed in one place. She was moved around, she told me. She was moved from home to home, and maybe every 2 to 3 weeks they would rotate them. And she said that one time staying at a family where Christians weren't afraid to take her to the church on Sunday while she stayed there. And she said that was like the first time she started feeling human again, you know, when they took her to church. And she was amazed just how loving the people were, you know, in that church. And she said that left an impression on her. But who would think that that seed planted in her heart, that God would use our ministry knocking on her door. And then 4 years praying for her and witnessing to her, that she came out to a missions conference that we had specifically for the Jews at Lighthouse Baptist Church. It was to the Jew first. Missions was a theme. And I had a Jew out every night that week. I had a Jew out every night. And she came on a Friday night. And after the message, the preaching of the Word of God, she came forward. On her own, she just came up here and kneeled at the altar. And my wife came up and prayed with her, and she received Christ as her Savior. And 6 months later, she would have died. She died shortly after having a stroke after her salvation. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God would use that way back during her time, in her crisis, during the Holocaust. Later, she would, and I was always wondered too, just kind of backtracking a little bit, when she, Christmas time would come, she'd always get Christmas carols, and love my daughter to play those Christmas carols, you know, and, many stories we could tell you here, how God's still working in these Jews' hearts, but they can be saved, folks. They can be saved. And it's going to take your prayers, and again, a little of my chutzpah and others' chutzpahs, a little, that is to say in Hebrew, a little boldness to take the gospel. But anyway, we also want to thank you folks, your church here. Brother Mark works with the Stable Printing Ministry, and I just had the, and I'm glad he's here tonight. Glad you came, brother. I haven't met him. We've been working over the phone for 10 years now, making these postcard tracks. And these postcard tracks go out to Niagara Falls over the spring, summer, and part of the fall. And because of your ministry and the effort of our church, every Saturday night we go out to Niagara Falls, and we have giving out maybe a little over 300,000 of these. And that's tremendous, folks. 16 million visitors a year come out to Niagara Falls from all over the world. All over the world, all four corners of the world. They come to the falls, and sometimes I think half the world is Indian and another half is Chinese. I mean, there so many Indians, so many Chinese up there, you know. And then we get the other continents in between. But we get these tracks out, and it's the story of Roger Woodward. And this was in 1960. He and his sister and a friend of the family's actually got caught in the rapids, to make a long story short. And Roger, 7-year-old boy, ended up going over the falls and surviving. His sister got pulled in maybe just 10 feet from the brink of the falls. So she just got rescued by two men from New Jersey, a state trooper and a truck driver. Roger, he went over the falls, and when he got down there, he survived the fall. And there just so happened to be the Maid of the Mist right there making his turn. Or otherwise, he said he would have been sucked in, you know. They pulled him in the shore. And so Roger wondered what so many people told him. He has great plans for him, but nothing really happened. He says, but it really all came together for him 23 years later. When he was 30 years old, he accepted Christ as a personal savior. Well, they tell this story in the IMAX theater right there in the park. It says that Lila Wala, the Maid of the Mist, Indian lady that they named the Maid of the Mist after, they give her the credit for saving his life. But we know the story here. It's really God saved his life. And so I believe God used that miracle for us to come later and tell the people, amen, of his testimony. And so you ever get up to Buffalo in the summertime and visit the falls, stop by Lighthouse Baptist Church, pick up some of these tracks. We'll be glad to give you some, and you can distribute them while you visit. Or just come on up with us on a Saturday and join us. Love to have you. Amen. All right, let's go into the scriptures now and look at the Word of God in light of what's going on in the news. I think this message is extremely appropriate, and I hope it helps you just to get an understanding of what's going on in the Middle East, because not too many people smart or even themselves can even give you an explanation really what is going on in the Middle East, but they're trying to figure it out, okay? They're trying to come up with a solution to bring peace there, and even probably yourself, like myself, seems to think that really this is just impossible. But there is peace on the horizon, and it's coming, okay? And there's always been talks of peace with Israel, going back to the Balfour Declaration, when they actually gained the land in 1917 under the Balfour Declaration. But there was, of course, after the war, World War I pretty much prepared the land for the people, and then in World War II, prepared the people for the land. And Harriet Truman, okay, did something they didn't want him to do in Washington, is to help Israel get their own land and their own nation. But that happened, despite popular demands, like we've seen with Donald Trump, our President Trump, moving the embassy to Jerusalem, right? Wasn't very popular, both sides of the fence, right? it was a very bold move on his part, but it's amazing, as we saw up here, I never thought, because it's been so many promises to move the embassy and never follow through with it, but Trump did, didn't he? He sure did. Rabin said yesterday, as they were talking about a very historic time of this upcoming peace negotiations with the Palestinians and Israel, and it's pretty interesting. But he said that this President Donald Trump has been the best, or the greatest ally, or the greatest friend that Israel has ever had as president. And so what he's going to do and what he's got planned is going to be interesting. But with all this talks of peace, I want to get you to look at the Bible with me this evening. And we can look at the scriptures. And just to get an idea of really what is going on in the Middle East now and what is coming in the future. And the Bible has much to say about Israel's future. In fact, there's a lot of scripture in the Bible, prophecies that are still yet to be fulfilled. And we, I believe, can know from the scriptures that as we look at what's happening today in the media, we look at what's happening today in Israel, that peace is on the horizon, but also there is a great war on the horizon. But before that war, there's going to be a great peace. Let's look at that according to the scriptures. Ezekiel chapter 38, if you would turn there with me. Ezekiel 38. Amen. Now, once I get going, I really lose track of the time. And folks, wouldn't mind you if you kind of intervene, okay? Because it says here 12 o'clock. I will go to 12 o'clock. All right. Well, somebody wants me to go over here. Amen? All right. Amen, brother. But we'll consolidate all this. It's good stuff, and we'll try to get you out of here at a decent hour, okay? There's three major sections as you go to Ezekiel 38, and I'll go over those with you to kind of break it down for you. And I want to just look at the first seven verses. We'll read those together, and I'll read these out loud as you follow. But verse 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal." Now, verse 4, "And I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws and will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields and all of them handling swords. But Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Tagarma of the north, quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. But thou be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. And of course, the scripture goes on. Let's just read here one more, verse 8, and then we'll explain what we have already read. After many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years. Thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword, and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. So there we see very clearly from the scriptures that Israel is going to dwell safely as of the rest of the entire world. So what the world is after and what Israel is after is we can see that there is peace coming. It says in the scriptures that they will what? They're going to dwell safely. Okay? Now, looking at the scriptures here, we see that we see a campaign, okay? And Ezekiel 38 and 39 is often referred in scripture as being the end time battle of Armageddon, okay? And that's not true. According to what we're looking at here is that there's a time of peace, then a time of war, but we're going to see here in the scriptures that this is not going to happen at the end of the tribulation. Not here in Ezekiel 38, what we just read. It's going to happen in the beginning. Okay, it's going to happen in the beginning. And there's going to be a time period in between. And at the end now this first war that's coming, and this, let's just call it a campaign, is that the latter end of Ezekiel 39 is going to be the battle of Armageddon. Okay? Armageddon. And looking at the first war here, that, of course, is the battle of Gog here, the leader, Gog, in the land of Magog. And this is Magog being the land is Russia. And I'm not going to go over basically today how these nations are against Israel, but we can say that the wars of Israel's past have all been backed by Russian armament. Okay? Their T-37s and their tanks and their AK-47s, and all of that has been backed by Russia. Persia, it's interesting, what we're seeing today, even with this recent attack on the embassy, is that we kind of see Iraq and Iran, okay, are kind of uniting here, but that's what Persia is. That's what Persia is, Iraq and Iran. And then, of course, Ethiopia. We know with Ethiopia that back in the late 80s, early 90s, Operation Solomon, that a lot of those Ethiopian Jews had to get out of there because of persecution. And so they're, as a nation, are against Israel. And Libya, we know with Gaddafi, of course, and the terrorists has always been against Israel. Gomer here, we're looking at Germany, okay? And we don't have to say much about Germany, right, in its history. As far as anti-Semitism goes. And it says Gomer and its bands, and it's probably those other countries around Germany, Poland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, maybe Romania, that will be included with Germany. And then verse 6, we see Tagarma, and that's Turkey, and we're seeing more and more Turkey straying away from the United States and joining even closer to Islams and the Muslims nations. And then their bands could easily be Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and those others as well. But these are the invaders. These are the ones that are coming down, okay? They're coming down. We'll talk is what's going to bring them down, but we do already, according to the scriptures here, is that they're going to be turned back, and that's being turned back from the peace that they have made and the agreement they have made with the revived Roman Empire. But they're going to part from that because God's going to pull them back from that and put a hook in their mouth. And the bait's going to be Israel. Now, Israel isn't left alone like they are in the Battle of Armageddon. All the nations of the world are going to surround Jerusalem and attack the Jews. But in this war that happens at the beginning of the tribulation period is going to be revive Roman Empire, the rest of the world, and of course, its leader being the Antichrist. But if you just look over to verse 13, you'll see Sheba and Dedan, and that is Saudi Arabia. And also you can see today that Saudi Arabia is gaining more, what? Closer to Israel as a friend, aren't they? They're developing a better relationship there. And with us it's been good, but with Israel it's been kind of on the teeter-totter. I mean, it's been back and forth, but it seems to be leaning more towards Israel. And then, of course, verse 13 goes on to say, the merchants of Tarshish and all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee. That being, I believe, the Great Britain, and, of course, all the English-speaking nations are going to be for the Jews, okay, for Israel. Now, this war you can take from Ezekiel 38, starting in 18. This is the outcome of the war, and it goes all the way to Ezekiel 39:7. Okay, I just want to just show you here that this nation, Russian, does take the bait. And that bait, of course, I said just a minute ago, was the nation Israel. And the reason for them taking the bait is that they are turned back from God. And what turns them back is that they break away. They break away from the revived Roman Empire. And, of course, now not recognizing the Antichrist as their leader. Revelation 6. If you just go to Revelation chapter 6, and I'll explain what we're seeing here in Ezekiel 38 is Revelation chapter 6, the white horse and the red horse. Revelation 6:2 says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." And is the diplomacy, okay, of the Antichrist bringing peace, not by sword, but he's got a bow and a crown, and he conquers, okay, diplomatically. And so bring in peace. He is going to be for the Jews, all right? But not mentioning in this scripture, we see these other nations, okay, that are going to take the peace away, all right? Because verse 3 says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth." And so we know that this gathering that Israel has and returning back to the land, as we looked at in verse 8, that they've gathered from all over the world, that they're going to be attacked by these this Axis powers here that we mentioned, these eight nations, and some with their bands are going to come with them. And the they're all going to break away. They're all going to break away from the Antichrist and the revived Roman Empire. But before they did break away, they had made peace. And I believe what's going to happen is that they're going to come, in verse 8, exactly as it says, an army on horses, okay? And they're coming with shield and sword, medieval type of warfare. It's because they all had been talked into by the Antichrist to bring peace to this world. and that they had all surrendered their modern-day armament, including Israel. Now, you probably say that's impossible to happen, but it's going to happen, okay? There's going to be a great deception. God says he's going to send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, and he's going to have that kind of power through lying signs and wonders, it says in 2 Thessalonians. He's going to bring great deception, and he's going to deceive these Muslim countries into surrendering their armament, but they're not that concerned. They're not that much concerned because they're going to look upon Israel as dwelling safely in the land without walls, without protection. Now, I believe the Antichrist is storing up this armament that they had from these countries, of the, including the 10 nations of the European common market, but probably storing that up for the upcoming battle that we'll see in Ezekiel 39. But we see these countries are the clay of Daniel, these countries that we just looked at, Magog and Togarma and Gomer and all the rest, are the clay in the toes of Daniel's vision, where he saw what was to come in the future, okay? As we're looking at it now in the latter days, okay? And this kingdom of the Antichrist is going to be partly strong and partly broken. And the partly strong may very well represent the 10 united kingdoms that will rule under the one church, okay, which will be predominantly Christian, okay? More so in the, probably in light of Catholicism, if you would, okay? And these 10 kings under the confederation of the revived Roman Empire are going to be led by the Antichrist. And these nations that we looked at are going to be predominantly Muslim, and that's going to be the clay that's going to break away, okay? And they're going to think an evil thought. Let's look at Ezekiel 38, and it says, let's look at verses 9 and 10. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all the bands, and many people with thee. And thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And what is this evil thought that they think? Well, what was the evil thought that Hitler thought after World War I? Who did he blame the reason for them losing the war on? The Jews, didn't he? Yep. And what these guys are going to see is all that is happening in Israel is not happening in their nation. And these Jews are greatly prospering. And their thought is, why are they getting, okay, the good stuff? And we're getting the bad stuff. And this is what's going on. And so that evil thought is, let's go down and take all that we see down there, okay? And it's going to be easy taken. And we're not going to really need all that modern warfare, okay? They got the numbers, and then what they do have is more than what Israel has, because Israel's done the same thing. They've relinquished, okay, all their armament to the Antichrist, believing him to be their Messiah. He's their protector now. But before we look at that invasion, okay? We see that the nations that are attacking Israel are going to covet the prosperity that they see in Israel. And at the time that they look upon Israel, it is going to be similar to the time it was during the time of Solomon, all right, when there was great peace, not only in Israel, but great peace throughout the world. And, of course, the rocks and Solomon's time, silver was just as common as the rocks. And of course, it was just an abundance of prosperity, and there was peace. But also in Israel, too, there was, and during the time of Solomon, is that there was a temple, okay? And that's coming. That's coming. We'll talk about this here in a minute, what's going to draw Israel back to the land. But I think this is a Jewish rabbi said that the world is like an eye. The white of the eye are the nations. The iris is the nation of Israel. And of course, the pupil is Jerusalem. They obtained their land and they're coming back. Some of you may not believe it, but I believe you're actually seeing Bible prophecy being fulfilled. It's happening. And then, of course, against all odds, it's just May 14th, 1948, when they got their land. One thing to get the land, being approved by the United Nations and voted in, but do you know a lot of those people that voted for Israel to become a nation were doing it because they knew that once they did that, there was a nation, a bunch of Palestinians and other countries around them that were going to come in and just crush them. So they're just being set up. A lot of what we're looking at here in Scripture, the same thing going on, but they did what took us about 8 years to defeat Great Britain, right? They defeated them, all these countries that invaded them in 9 months. I don't have time to go into the things that were impossible. But they're actually dumping cocktail bombs from these propeller planes taking out tanks. They won. And then in 6 days, they defeated, okay, Egypt from the south and Syria from the north and Jordan from coming from the east. 2 hours, the Jews gained air superiority. They were outnumbered in everything, from airplanes, tanks, cannons, and infantry. And if you were to go, to the Pentagon and you would ask them, okay, in the Pentagon where they got the records from this war, how did they do that so decisively? And it's documented that there's no explanation how Israel had won in 6 days, other than it was a bona fide miracle. That's being documented from the general and others. They can't explain it. They won't even dare even bring this up at West Point. It's just that there's no way you can sit down and take their leaders and how they can go into battle and duplicate what they've done. You just can't do it. Suicide. We can go on with the Yom Kippur War, right? But here we see Israel dwelling safely. And we saw that in verse 8 at the end, and we'll see that again, even if we went down to verse 11. I know we read verse 10 about the thinking an evil thought, but in verse 11 it says that they are at rest and also dwelling safely. Israel has been bamboozled, okay, by the Antichrist. They really feel that there is nothing to worry about. But safety is a deception of the Antichrist that the Messiah has come, and they are entering the millennium. Israel feels that right now they're not going into the tribulation period. Things have been so good here in Israel that there's been such great prosperity that they really believe that this is the Messiah because he's done what nobody else has been able to do. And hasn't they tried? They've tried over and over again, even now. As much as I like Donald Trump and I'm supporting his decision and Rabin's decision on this peace negotiation here with the Palestinians, I'm for that, but I know already that they're not going to be able to do. And as wealthy as Trump thinks big and he's thinking, hey, we'll give him $50 billion. Okay, and that's going to help. That's what he's going to give the Palestinians. I don't know what he's going to give the Jews. But I do know Rabin was really smiling. He was really happy. You know, I was very pleased with the deal. But
talks of peace is going to continue on, and I'm basically bringing this out here in this message this evening is to show you that this is what the Jews are striving for and are going to continue to strive for, is for peace. But they're right now, they're deceived. Like Hitler, he boasted of the Aryan race would rule the world for 1,000 years. And there was great prosperity and peace in Germany from the years 1933 to 1939. Isn't it interesting how they prospered during that time? And during that time, we were what? In a Great Depression? We won the war. They lost the war. But how are they prospering here? They did. And of course, they were able to gain armament that would shake the entire European continent. Prosperity, great prosperity when Hitler took power, and he is a good type of Antichrist. But the, of course, the peace was soon removed, and Germany invaded, when they invaded Poland in September 6, 1939, and that's what's going on here right now. They're going to be dwelling in the land, enjoying their prosperity, and then, boom, Gog is the leader is going to come down out of Magog with the rest of those countries and invade. And so I could probably just tell you here that maybe this is kind of similar to what was going on in Pearl Harbor when they were down, the sailors and the military were really enjoying their weekend. And what happened is, boom, 300 Jap Zeros come in and sink the Arizona and bomb what two-thirds of the Navy, and 2,000, maybe plus 2,000, 2,100 sailors would die. And this is how the Jews are going to be taken. They're going to be taken unaware, all right? But with this peace now, we see it in verse 8 that's in the land. I just want to talk a little bit more about that here. We see it in verse 11. And then, of course, what's going to draw them down, this is the bait, is that they're coming down, verse 12, to take a spoil, and to take a prey, and to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited. Church, this is incredible. But with the peace talks that are going on in Israel, Colin Powell went over there. 2002, July 2002, and I remember him being very confident when he got off that plane that he's going to straighten out these Palestinians and Jews in the Middle East. He's going to get it straight once and for all. And at that time, they're building a wall around the West Bank. They're almost halfway done. And I'm thinking, wow, what are they going to do with all the money they put in that wall if they come to an agreement? Well, guess what happened? From 2003 to 2006, they finished building that wall that's over there today. And I remember Colin Powell looking so confident when he got off that airplane in Tel Aviv, and he looked so stern and like he's going to straighten them out. But when he left, he had this look on his face like, it can't be done. There's no way. It's impossible. And he left. But the Antichrist, when he comes, he's going to get them to dwell safely, okay? In such a way that, look at this. Verse 11, and thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are at rest, that dwell safely, all of them dwelling without, look at this now, church, without what? Walls, and having neither bars nor what? Gates. Can you see Israel giving up the Iron Dome? Could you see him giving up anything? Now, President Bush Sr., we're going to do this what? Roadmap to peace. No, Land for Peace was his theme for peace in the Middle East. His son, George Bush, was the roadmap to peace. the roadmap to peace. But I'm telling you, ever since they started negotiating and giving up these territories like the West Bank, Golan Heights, Gaza, even the Sinai, they only stirred up further problems over there. Now, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to do something for the Jews. Now, keep your finger in Ezekiel and just go with me to Daniel chapter 10. I'm going to hurry. I was only joking with you earlier, but I'm going to be wrapping things up here. Just bear with me, folks. Will you go to Daniel chapter 9, verse 27? And this is when the Antichrist comes on the scene. He's going to, of course, revive in the Roman Empire and setting up 10 kings there to rule from. But he's going to also go to Israel. And something interesting, Donald Trump and Netanyahu said at this meeting yesterday about peace negotiations that Donald Trump wants Israel to be the symbol of peace to the entire world. That's incredible, isn't it? I think the Antichrist is going to not only gain favor with the Jews, but he's going to gain favor with everybody because he's going to do something nobody could do. Now, I would bet on Donald Trump more than anybody else that could come close. Don't get me wrong, folks. Some people think, well, you're calling Donald Trump the Antichrist. Donald Trump's not the Antichrist. Okay? Just to put you at ease. He can't be the Antichrist because the Antichrist has no desire for women. That doesn't explain Donald Trump, okay? He's married and he's got children, all right? But what this Antichrist is going to do when he steps on, when he comes to power and he is going to go to Israel and he's going to say to Israel, she shall what? Confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Right? He's not going to make a covenant with the Jews. He's going to confirm the covenant. Does anybody know what that covenant is? It happened back in Genesis 12:3 when God did what? He made a covenant with Abraham. Right? And then he made a covenant, 2 Thessalonians 7:16, with David. Did he not? That's the Davidic covenant. Thy nation shall be established for what? Ever. Right? To confirm is simply for me to bring to your attention an already established truth. I'm just confirming. Okay, like I made a phone call. I'm coming. I'm just confirming the appointment we got tonight. I'm on my way. Just confirming my appointment. The Antichrist is going to bring the scriptures, being their false Messiah, and he's going to show them from the scriptures that this land belongs to the Jews. And not only does this land belong to the Jews, right? He's going to show them that more land belongs to the Jews. Now, this is what's going to happen in Genesis. Keep your finger in Ezekiel, your marker. Chapter 15. Watch what the Antichrist is going to do. Not that Trump wouldn't attempt this. Like Netanyahu was joking with it. It's interesting that God would use a man that knows something about real estate to negotiate the land in Israel. And verse 18 says, in the same day the Lord made a what? Covenant. Okay. With Abraham, unto thy seed haven't I given this land from the river of Egypt, which is the Nile, unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, going all the way up to Baghdad in Iraq. You know what that means? Israel has just a sliver of land right now, maybe no bigger than the size of New Jersey, that's been allotted to them or awarded to them by God. And, of course, we know why. It has to do with their own sin. But when the Antichrist comes and he's going to say, I'm going to forgive your sin, and I'm not going to take any away of your land away from you to make peace with the rest of your nations around you or the world. He says, I'm going to give you more land. So what he's going to do is he's going to expand Israel even greater when he comes to power. You say that can't be done. Listen, it's going to happen. He's going to stretch the land. Now, I don't think they're going to go all the way from the Nile up to the Euphrates. But what I'm saying here is that they're going to get more land. And also what he's going to do is he's going to say that this land is for Israel. And somehow, he's going to do through lying, signs, and wonders, is he's going to be able to get through DNA that all these Jews that come back to the land is going to find out what tribe they're from.
Now we know 144,000 witnesses that are going to get saved also are coming out of what? Right? We know that 12,000 per each tribe. So these Jews that come back to the land, they're going to look at Ezekiel 40 through 48 and they're going to see that that inheritance that's promised to them, remember now, this is just a false thing. It's just false peace. They're going to have their inheritance for Dan, Zebulun, Naphtali, Gad, Reuben, and Judah. We can go on. So when they come to Israel, okay, they're going to come to Israel and find out what tribe they're from, and then they're going to have an allotted piece of land waiting for them. And not only what's going to be in Israel's free land, there's also going to be the temple, right? The temple's going to be there. All of this is a big draw to bring Israel back to the land. And when they come back, one thing that Jews like is they're going to prosper. Let's look at this here. We already look at verse 13, and he says, "Art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey? To carry away what? Silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a what? A great spoil." Now, Israel has never had it so good. And again, just respect the time. It's a Wednesday night. I know you have to work tomorrow. I just want to say that this time for the Jews that we're looking at here, if we can just look at what we've seen so far. I don't have time now to go into the invasion, but I'm going to have to stop here just because what I went over is future. None of this has not been fulfilled, ever. Have you ever seen anything like that? If you go back to Josephus, go back to any kind of historical writings, can you look at it and saying that this happened? Has it ever happened? It hasn't happened. When is it going to happen? Well, I'll tell you when it's going to happen. When it's all going to begin is when the church is raptured. What we see tonight, everything we're looking at right now in the scripture, we know has the potential of what? Being fulfilled, don't we? Every country we looked at that's going to be invading, even Israel with their great quest for the peace in the land. I didn't get into it too much, but a great quest for and a desire for the building of the temple. I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump has something to say about helping the Jews rebuild the temple in his next what? His next term. He's pretty bold to do what he did with the embassy. You think he got things stirred up with that? You imagine what he would happen? He's crazy enough. Don't under that might happen. But the temple right now, they've got it. I don't have time. I wish I did, but I can't get into it as much. But this really, like I said, this is the gleam in the eyes of the Jews. Now that they're looking actually more forward to the temple than they are the coming Messiah. And the Messiah is going to be instrumental in giving them the peace. And because they have peace, I'll conclude with this, that I took a class at UB, not at the college, but at a synagogue outside of UB, and the professor was a teacher at UB on the spirit of the land, and I talked a lot about the Messiah coming. And I said, how are you going to know it's a true Messiah when he comes? And he says, well, no, because he's going to bring peace to Israel. Nobody's been able to do that. But he says, I'll even know greater will know the Jews that he is a true Messiah, as he's going to bring peace to the entire world. Nothing from the scriptures. Not one thing from the scriptures, but he says he's going to bring peace to Israel and the world. That's the kind of Messiah that they're looking for. Now, with that said, church, and this is not for us, this is for Israel. How much closer would you think the rapture of the church is? I would say this, and I'm going to close. It's closer than we realize. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening service tonight. And to be able to be down here, God, has been a great blessing. Lord, a tremendous blessing to be visiting this church that's been so faithful in supporting our ministry these past 15 years. And for their faithful prayer and support, our family is truly grateful. And we wanted to say so, Lord. And then to be a blessing to them, God, I pray this night, Lord, would be a help to them in the scriptures to begin to prepare their hearts, Father, for the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, we shall be changed. What a great hope we have. And Lord, I pray, God, you said in your word that there's a special reward, a special crown in heaven to them who love your reappearing. That's, Lord, is what we can benefit, God. We can benefit from that, Lord, at the judgment seat of Christ. But, Father, also, there's many Jews in the meantime, and there's many Gentiles that still need to be saved, Father. And we pray this will help encourage us to see the need of the hour, that we lift up our eyes for our redemption draweth nigh, but we can also see that the need for the hour today, God, is coming to an end, and we need to get busy. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and turn to number 236. 236.